Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Father, there's so many things that went on last year in 2022. And 2022 has come to a close, and we are upon a new day. You have given us a new day, a new start, a new beginning. You have put before us a new year. And Father, we pray that this year we can be more for you than we was last year. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit just to come upon each one of us, Father. We pray, Father, that those that don't know you, Father, that we've been praying for, Father, we pray for them to be saved this year, Father. Lord, we just lift it all up to you, and we thank you so much for loving us. Father, I want to pray for Pastor Cal, dear Lord Jesus, as he brings the word this morning. Ask that you'll bless him, Father. Bless his family. And Father, just go before him in all the many, many things that he does, Father. And Lord, let us show appreciation and gratitude to our pastor. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you. It is a good morning. Anytime you can get out of bed and put your feet on the floor and go forward, it's good. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. But let me just, in the way of introduction, say a few things. Christmas, and really all of December, was one of the greatest months of missions giving that I've ever seen here at Second Mile Church. To God be the glory, you guys gave $31,000 to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering last summer. And if you add Kenwood's $4,000, that's $35,000. In our Sunday school Christmas auction, you raised $6,400 for families so that they could enjoy Christmas. We sent out over 200, I think, Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. And I could go on and on and on. But I just want you to know how thankful I am to be a part of a giving church. And your gifts to our Lottie Moon Christmas offering that go to support our international missionaries, every dime of that goes to their ministry. Doesn't go to some administrative person, doesn't go to do anything. It goes straight to the missionaries and their ministry. So I thank God for that. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Now, can you believe... Brother Andrew's right, looking at some of y'all, I believe y'all did stay up a little late last night. Can you believe it's 2023? 2023. Where did 2022 go? I've got to be honest, though. I'm kind of glad 2022's in the rear end, you know, in the rearview mirror. But I'm excited and a little apprehensive about 2023. And here's why. I believe this is the greatest season this is the greatest time, at least in American history, to share the gospel with the people that we live with here in this community, in this country, and really the whole world that we've ever had. And it's a great opportunity to give God tremendous glory in 2023 by sharing him with others. And but I'm a little apprehensive also because, I'm just being honest with you, because there's a lot of obstacles that we're going to have to face in order to do that. But having said that, let me say this. The same God that's been with us in the past is with us today and will be with us in 2023 and forevermore. Amen. Now, for those of you that didn't clap, look at your neighbor and say, he's faithful. All right. He's faithful. You cannot beat the Lord. Now, I've entitled the message today, Good Cheer for the New Year. And we're in 1 Peter. Let me just kind of set the table here and let you know what's going on. Simon Peter, the great apostle Peter, is writing to the church, probably in Asia Minor, Galatia, Pontus, some other places over there that are along that Asia Minor coast over there, what we would call modern-day Turkey. He's writing to the church. He's writing basically to Jewish believers, his Jewish brethren who have come to faith in Christ. And there, as you read through the books of 1 and 2 Peter, you understand that the church is going through some type of fiery trial, some type of difficulty. And so the reason for these two letters is to encourage the people to live in difficult times. Does that sound like that could be applicable today? What it means to live for God in difficult times and seasons. And so he gives the church four great admonitions to live for God in difficult circumstances. And I believe if we'll apply these same four admonitions here in this body of believers, in this church, if we'll apply them, some of you may call them characteristics, admonitions, whatever. If we'll apply what we hear from the Word of God today, guess what? We'll have great cheer for the new year. Some of you need some cheering up. I can just tell by looking at you. Let's all stand as we honor God's Word one more time this morning. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll tell you what, let me just start at verse 5 and we'll go down through verse 11. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. Let me say that again. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Look at your neighbor and say, somebody cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Coach Gregory, ask God to bless the word, would you?
Almighty God, we pray your presence, God. We thank you this day. Thank you this new year, God. We pray, God.
Yes.
Bless this community through 2023. God, we just pray for our nation. We pray, God, as we look on 2023, we might have a special revival in our country. God, we need it so badly. We know, God, if we are a people that are lost and not looking for you for leadership and guidance,
help us, God.
Amen. Please be seated. All right, if you've got your sermon notes with you, you can just roll through there with me. First admonition that the Word of God gives to us for 2023 is to be humble. Be humble. Say that with me. Be humble. Be humble. Humility. And I was amazed when I was reading through verses 6 and 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Almost, it's identical over there in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I don't know who's reading one another's notes, if Peter's reading James's notes or if James reading Peter's notes, but the truth that's being taught here is humility. We're to be humble. As a matter of fact, God hates pride. It's one of the seven deadly sins in Proverbs chapter 6. God hates pride. Proverbs 16 and verse 17 says that pride goeth before destruction. You see, pride is a killer for the child of God. Pride destroys us. Pride divides us. Pride will put God's best to death. And you know, what I have found to be true in my life is when I'm being prideful and I'm being selfish and I'm being me. Do you know what happens? Instead of God getting the glory for whatever I'm doing, I'm wanting that glory. And God is the one who deserves glory. And so we've got to wrap our hearts and our heads around this thing in 2023 of being humble. Being humble. And, you know, pride's what got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. Really is. You remember what Satan said to Eve? You will not surely die if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You'll be like God. You see what he's doing there? He's sowing the seeds of pride. And Adam and Eve bought the bait. Lucifer, the great, one of God's greatest creations, the great minister of music of heaven. Pride's what got him booted out of heaven. He wanted to be worshipped as God. God said, okay, you want to go up? The way up is down. And he got thrown out of heaven. Pride destroys us. Pride divides us. Pride, anytime we're prideful, think about this. Anytime we're prideful, God is in opposition to us. And by the way, you don't want God to oppose you. But he gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Well, okay, Pastor, you've made a good point. How do I stay humble in 2023? I'm so glad you asked. Look again at what the Word of God says. There's an ugly word that Americans don't like in here. Do you see it? It's there in verse 5. It's two or three times. It's the word submission. Say that with me. Submission. You see, we Americans, we're not going to surrender. We're not going to submit to anyone or anything. I'm a self-made man. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I mean, I'm not going to submit to anybody. Well, that's fine. But if that's the mindset, you are not going to get God's best. And so we got to learn to submit, first of all, to Him, and then submit to one another. And when we do that in humility, God, you know what He does? He loves us and cares for us. Now, He's going to love you whether you do or not. Look again. Look at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God is the lifter of our head. Psalm chapter 3. And whatever it is that you're going through, whatever difficulty, whatever circumstance, whatever action, whatever attitude you've got, if you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and God, by the way, God's got the great biggest set of hands anywhere. If you'll humble yourself and submit to Him, God, I don't understand this. God, I don't even like this. But God, you know what you're doing. You've got a bigger, better plan than I do. And I just submit to this. God, you just do what you want to do. I'm yours. You're mine. I submit to your will. And you know what God does immediately right then? He sends a care package. He loves you and He cares for you. Have you ever gotten a care package? Two of you? God is so good, isn't He? And so we need to remember that in 2023, that we've got to humble ourselves, be humble. And in order to do that, we submit ourselves first to God, then to one another, and then we just, okay, Lord, you know better. You got a better plan. And I'm submitted to it. I've watched several of y'all this year submit to some tough things. Let me just tell you, in due time, God will raise you up. He will exalt you. I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but I'm talking to somebody. Be humble. Here's the second thing. Be faithful. Be faithful. Look at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He's talking here about just being faithful. Being faithful. And in order to be faithful, You've got to take a stand against the wiles of the devil. And I want to say three things quickly about the evil one, the sinister minister of fear and doubt. I want to say three things about Satan. Well, number one, respect him, recognize him, and resist him. Now, what do you mean respect him? I'm not talking about admiring him. No. I'm talking about respecting him as a powerful enemy. You can't whip Satan on your own. He is more intelligent. He's got more wisdom. He's more powerful. Let me tell you, that cat is dangerous. And if you mess with him, especially in the flesh, guess what? You're going down. So that's what I mean by being respectful of what he can do. I mean, and there's... Billy, there's kind of two extremes. You probably noticed this when it comes to respecting who Satan is and what he can do. There's one extreme that says, hey, you know, there's some people in the body of Christ, you just want to shake them and wake them up and say, man, would you wake up? I mean, the devil's real. He's after you. And they picture him in a red suit with a red tail and a pitchfork. In other words, he doesn't have any, he's going to leave me alone. No. That's right. I need to get about 25 more Harrys in here and then I could preach. All right. Now listen to me. Don't ignore Satan. Don't underestimate Satan. He's real. You better respect him. And then on the other end of that scale, by the way, when you get out to two extremes, you're in a mess. Either end. And the other end sees Satan behind every bush. Let me tell you, Satan is not behind that long red light you're having to sit at. He's not behind the flat tire you had this week. He's not even behind the heavy price you pay for gas and groceries. That's just part of the fallen world we live in. But you'd better be respectful of who he is and what he can do. And then we need to recognize him. Did you see that? Did you catch this? He said, be sober, be vigilant. He's saying, wake up, pay attention. The devil is walking about like a roaring lion. And he wants to not only heat you up, but he wants to eat you up. Let me say that again. He not only wants to heat you up and take you where he's going, but he wants to eat you up. John 10:10 says, the thief, definite article. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Pay attention. Wake up. Recognize what he's doing. He wants to kill your spirit, steal your joy, and destroy your life. My daughter went to got her undergraduate and her master's degree at the University of North Alabama down in Florence. And their nicknames are the Lions. And Paige moved to Florence, Alabama when she was a junior in college working on her bachelor's degree. And so she got a little apartment right there on the back side of the on the front side of the campus. And so we got her all moved in and moved her, you know, her bed, and then she had a desk and two or three other things. Most college students are broke, busted, and disgusted. And so she gets in there and we're putting the finishing touches on her little apartment, and all of a sudden I hear this. I mean, ferocious noise. And I said, what was that? And she said, oh, our mascots are right in behind the apartment complex. And there were two lions back there in a huge cage. Have you ever heard a lion roar? Well, I'm going to tell you what, Satan is roaring louder than those two lions put together. And he's after you. Recognize him. He wants to tempt you to sin. He wants to confuse you. He wants to divide us. He's going to throw his heavy artillery of doubt and fear at you. He's going to incite immorality and idolatry. He wants to keep us from God's best. He doesn't want Second Mile to succeed by any stretch of the imagination. And he wants to destroy your life. Recognize him. And then resist him. Now, did you catch this? Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, let me just say a word about binding. I hear this all the time. Well, you just bind Satan in Jesus' name. Let me just tell you, there's only one that can bind Satan, and his name is God. And he's going to do that. He's going to bind him one day and throw him in a bottomless pit in chains for 1,000 years. Now, we're told that we can loose and bind some of the things that he does. But here's how you resist the devil. And I love what James chapter 4 says. He said, the whole solution is, first of all, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you see the pattern there? Submit to God first, then resist the devil. Well, how do we resist the devil? You rebuke him. You don't bind him. You rebuke him with Scripture. Have y'all got a Bible this morning? Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Now, the longer it takes you to get here, the longer this sermon's going to be. Matthew chapter 4. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, you remember Jesus is beginning his public ministry, and he's been fasting and praying out in a deserted place, out in a wilderness place. And after the 40 days of fasting, guess what he's done? But he's wore out, weak, famished, and hungry. And guess who shows up? The sinister minister of fear and doubt. Here it is. Verse 4, Matthew 4. But he answered, verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, Satan's using some scripture now, isn't he slick? He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Then Jesus said, it is written again. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil what? Left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, you know, that is the pattern for you and for me. When you feel yourself falling under temptation and you feel an attack, and by the way, his attacks and his strategies are ramped up right now. 2 Timothy chapter 3 reveals in the last days what Satan's going to be. He knows his lease. He knows he's on a short lease. He knows that his time is coming to an end. And so guess what he's going to do? He's going to attack the body of Christ. He's coming after you. But you can resist him by rebuking him with Scripture. And here's one of, I don't know if this is something that I'll say and I'll do. Y'all know how crazy I am, right? But when I feel like I'm under attack or I'm aware of his activity, I'll just speak like this. Satan, you are a liar. Jesus is Lord. And he has defeated you at Calvary. My life belongs to him. My sins are all under the blood. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You have no right or authority in my life. There's no unclean spot where you have any right to dwell. As a matter of fact, Satan, you are trespassing on my Father's property. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and resist your power in my life. Be gone. Amen. You resist him by rebuking him with Scripture. That's how you defeat him. Now, in order to do that, you got to learn some Scripture. That's why this brother right over here, every Sunday, get in the Word, Get in the Word. Get in your Bible. He also posted a Bible reading plan for y'all this year. Get in the Word of God. Apply it to your life. Memorize it. Get it deep down in your spirit. So when He comes to tempt you, you can do like Jesus and say, "It is written. You thief. You murderer. You liar." That's who He is, y'all. Are y'all with me this morning? All right, so be humble, be faithful, and here's the one I know. I sound like a broken record. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. Now, really, what verses 10 and 11 are is a prayer. He says, "But may the," verse 10, "but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Be prayerful. Let me just say it again in case y'all are hard of hearing. I love y'all enough to tell you the truth. You need to clear your schedule on Wednesday evening so you can come and pray together with us. Satan's after us. And there's power when God's people pray together. There's power in that. I mean, look what God's doing in our individual prayer closets. What could God do if all of us began to come together and pray together? Man, it always gets quiet when God's speaking. Clear your schedule on Wednesday. I'll never apologize for this. This is where we need to be a praying church. We're already a serving church and a giving church and a working church, but bless God, we'll have arrived when we get to be a praying church. And so let's pray. He says, first of all, pray about God's grace. Aren't you thankful for grace? Where would you be without God's grace? Huh? And by the way, God's grace is available not only at salvation, but every day of your life. The same grace that saved you is the same grace that'll carry you through. That sound good? Hebrews 4:16 says, "You can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And so ask for grace. When we're praying together, by the way, whatever it is you got to go through, His grace is sufficient. Whatever obstacle, whatever difficulty, whatever trouble we've got to go through, God supplies grace to people who ask for it and believe God for it. And so as we're praying together this year, hey, by the way, did you notice I missed that back up there in verse 9? He says, "Knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." We're not in this thing by ourselves. My daddy used to say two heads are better than one. We're in this thing together. And so we're praying for God's grace. And we're praying for God's glory. Woo, I like this. "May the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while." Now, one of the best ways that God gets the glory out in your life and mine is through suffering. I know that's why y'all came today, right? You wanted to hear that, right? No, you didn't want to hear that. I don't like it either. But one of the ways that God gets the glory out in our lives comes through this unusual tool called suffering. Man, I just want to hang out with the Fry family because they know something about what I'm talking about. And suffering, you see, gets the glory of God not only out of us, but when we respond in the way that God wants us to in His will, then the rest of the world takes notice. Man, they've got something I don't have. And God gets the glory. Would y'all all just quickly go to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see this. This is an amazing statement. 2 Corinthians, I don't hear those pages. I guess you've got your mobile devices on, okay? 2 Corinthians 4. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 17. For our light affliction. He's calling suffering light affliction. He's calling trouble and trials and tribulation light affliction. Watch this. Which is but for a moment. When you compare even our lives to all of eternity, it's almost as nothing, right? Is working, watch this, for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not are eternal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That suffering, that trial, that test, that trouble, that hard thing that's come into your life, God's working for you, in you, and through you. And it's just going to last a little while. And through that process, He's going to make you like Jesus. Have mercy. And so as we pray, we're praying for God's grace. And by the way, whatever begins in grace ends in glory. Y'all didn't get it. Whatever begins with God's grace always ends in glory. We're on the glory train, brothers and sisters. We're headed to glory. And God's getting that glory out. He's getting us ready for heaven. You say, we're not ready for heaven, not right now. But one day we will be. And so we pray together for God's grace and God's glory and then God's goodness. Did you catch this? Listen to these. After you have suffered a while, He will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God is good. Do you know what perfect there means? It means to equip, to adjust, to fit together. You mean, God, that's what you're doing through this trial I'm going through? Yeah. He's fitting all things together for your good and His glory. The word establish means to fix firmly. How many of you guys like to fix stuff? Well, that's what God does. Through persecution, through suffering, He's fixing us. He's establishing us. And then the word strengthen, you know what that is, God's strength. And when you got the power of God on your life, hallelujah, you've got everything you need. And then the word settle means to lay a foundation. I love that C.C. Winans song, The Goodness of God. God is good. And we pray for His goodness because He's perfecting us, He's establishing us, He's strengthening us, and He is settling us. Be prayerful in 2023. There's one final thing. Be hopeful. This is the latter part of the prayer that Peter's offering up. He says, to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but I'll grant you this. There's some folks in this room that have lost hope. Satan's a master deceiver. And he'll lie to you and tell you there's no hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We have concrete hope. I did another funeral this weekend. I've done more funerals. Goodness gracious. And you want to know where all this stuff winds up? If you're a child of God, it winds up in glory. God, and let me just say it because He is God, one day Jesus is coming for His church, for His bride. And He's going to take us. He wants us to be where He is. Hallelujah. You got some loved ones that are already there. And He's going to take us to be where He is. And then you know what He's going to do? He's going to reward us for what He's told us to do. Well, He's going to reward you. And then you're going to take that crown and lay it at his feet. And then bless God. By the way, all God's children are going to get home. Every single one of them. There'll be some folks. My pastor told me years ago, when you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, you'll be surprised that you got there. And you'll look around and you'll be surprised who's not there. And you'll be surprised who is there. Isn't God full of grace and glory and goodness? And so we're going to make it. And then we're going to place those crowns at his feet. And we're going to sit at the feet of Jesus. Think about that. We're going to bask in his glory, in his presence. Oh, I feel a song coming on. I'm not going to put y'all through that. But you can be hopeful in 2023 because Jesus said, I am coming. And I believe he's coming soon. Let's pray together. Father, we can't have good cheer for the new year if we'll remain humble and faithful and prayerful and hopeful. We know that you're in this place here with us today. And we just thank you for your presence. And I thank you for Second Mile Church and all you've done here for 4 years and I think 8 months, maybe 9 months. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. So God, we don't even begin to know what all you want to do with this message. It's yours. It's your sermon. It's not mine. It's yours. But I believe there's some people here that need hope. And if you don't know if you're a believer or not, I wouldn't let Satan lie to me any longer. I would just tell the Lord, I believe your word, Father. And your word tells me that Jesus paid the price for all my sin. He lived a perfect life. And that's how he was able to go to a cross. And right now I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I turn from my sin. I surrender to you as Lord of my life. Oh God, thank you for forgiveness and salvation. If you'll really mean business with God, the Bible talks about belief. Believe. And if you'll believe what God's word has already said, and take your stand for Christ Jesus, you can begin 2023 as one of his children. And then there's others that are here, and you're a believer. But you've got some issues, and you've got some stuff going on. And you've been reminded this morning that God's working in you, through you, and for you. And you need to submit totally to his will for your life. And he's going to raise you up. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray for you. Yeah, we've already had a time of prayer here at the altar. But you know what? You can't pray enough in God's house. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And we just ask you to come. And fill this altar. I can't think of a better way in 2023 to begin a new year than seeking God's best and his will and humbling yourself before him at an altar. Father, bless this time together. I pray those that have received Christ for the first and only time, they need to do that by faith, that they would come forward, not ashamed, but thrilled with what Jesus has just done in their life. And that we could pray with them and get them started right in their new life with Christ. And then there are others, God, that need your best. I'm going to ask you to come in just a moment. We turn down those lights one more time. Father, even now, as people are making decisions for Christ, oh God, help us to get this right. Help us, Lord, to submit to your will today in humility, to be faithful, to be prayerful, so that we can be hopeful. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Altar's open. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.